Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Calendar, but whatever it is,
here we are again, and really happy to be here, especially for this many years, you know. This particular radio show been going on for years, and we can be proud of that. And many of us, you know, I really appreciate Tanshi Vember pulling in and participating and, you know, and giving us a big boost to our message to the outside world and the societies we live in. And I appreciate Philip for being here this long and, you know, and the co-hosts for being here and helping. And Layla, she's here again, supporter of us for years and years and years. You know, last time she was on, she didn't want to tell us how old she was. But that's all right. We can count the years by how long she's been here on this radio show. You know, she's been around for quite a while. And anyway, of course, we're all here. And several people came, and some people dropped back in now and then. And I appreciate that. And then there's, you know, people don't realize the importance of form like we have, our stage that we stand on. You know, we can stand on this stage all by ourselves, but somebody's going to listen, you know. Somebody's going to listen, whether it's one person, two persons, three persons. But there's people out there that listen to us. And I've come to find out through all these years that we've been doing this, and all the many different people that participated in this platform we offer, I notice the reach that we have. You know, I mean, we don't ask people to call in. They call in. They're listening to us right now all over the world. And I appreciate them. I'm glad they call in. And I honor them. I mean, as quiet as it's kept, even these haters that call in show us the reach that we have, show us the message that we give. They can hate on us all we want, all they want, you know. They can hate on us. But they don't realize they're giving us a hand. They're helping and push us higher to the limit, to the limits of society that we're, you know, we attempt to reach and to give awareness that us indigenous, natives, Lakotas, Apaches, Cherokees, Aztecas, you know, Mayans, Incas, from all the tribes, the Amazon, all over, that we're still here. And no matter what they do, it hurts them that we are still here. How do they know we're here? You know? They can't tell just by seeing us. It's because we do unique things that represent our indigenous societies. Back in the 50s, we were taken to Los Angeles on relocation, and we're mixed in with all the rest of the poor people. They didn't put us in Beverly Hills. They sold us in the projects. So they put us there way back in the 50s. And my mother and different Indian women always would visit. You know, I give the women, the Native women, the Lakota women, a lot of credit for their power in keeping us alive, the women. My mother and them, you know, they visited other women. I remember sitting at the house and Indian women from different tribes would come visit my mom. And then a lot of women, Lakota women, would come from the res and come stay with us. And then they'd move up and have their own houses, and some of them would have their own families. Some of them moved to L.A. and had their own families there. More of them came on relocation. And the women were always the ones who enjoyed, you know, entertaining each other, visiting each other, and, you know, all this good stuff that we have. And eventually, you know, my mother and my aunt Hannah Left Hand Bull were two Lakota women, and my aunt Valma Flood, they worked together. Then my aunt Catherine, my father's sister, Catherine Schwagman, at that time she showed up. They started having meetings in societies out in California. One thing led to another. They were attracting people curious about Native Americans. One thing led to another, and even movie stars and actors. I remember Rod Redwing. He was the Indian that showed the cowboys how to shoot. You know, Rod Redwing, Michael Lancera, that played Cochise in the movies. All these movie stars were popping in their meetings. The next thing, they were having powwows. My sister was in a parade, you know, with Michael and Sarah, with her long braids. And, you know, we were noticed, and our women did this. You know, so I give our women a lot of credit. And, you know, I'm not saying the men didn't do nothing, but, you know, my dad, I loved him to death. He kept us Lakota, you know, regardless of, you know, he didn't care about no meetings and no powwows or whatever. He was busy on his own thing. But yet, when he walked through that door, they was talking Lakota, you know. When he walked through that door, it was back to being Lakota. If he was outside acting like a Mexican or whatever you're acting like, the minute he walked through that door, it's back to being Lakota, you know. So anyway, right now, let's get back, you know, to representing our people and let Vimber take over and lead us as an indigenous radio show should do. And proud to say, it looks like we're the only ones still doing it this way. So it's on you.
Yeah. Wana. No. I'll say a prayer and then we'll get started with the show here. You know, at Kunkasha, at the Kunkunka, at Kilichin, Ushisha, and Hutakon, at Wunglak of the Kunkasha, which we washed dish in Hunkit Kunkasha. Yeah, at the moment, Bashti juked it. Nishuk Wilks jumped it Kunkasha. Not to keep the Mitaki Oyum, you know, Lila, Bakpanich on Ushik of Lakotat. Niko yohila onki api tukasla. Tukdeta on yonki lena yohila tukasla. Lila shicha on kua tukasla. Skai cha shagina. Eta ku kash kafkhi akhban. Ta kota lak dagnish nu ya pon kot tukasla onki api yohila. Mene chi tukasla ni on akina sulya chanke. E we chose on uniki la tukasla. Ko shta on shnu ki on onki yohila tukasla. Ya chose on. Ola kota na. Wash the glenech unichila, left that to get me to get Hunkash, Wakana, Wakanjala. You have to feel Ohunkish, initial Kuja Tibet Spanish,
I noticed, and once again, I wanted to mention, you know, to like Philip and Wayne and Layla and those who listen out there in the world, prayed. He used the word Wakayansha. You know, he prayed for our kids, for our children, you know, and you know, these prayers that he says in our language are very special. And people, if they don't understand them, it's all right. But believe me, when Tanashi prays, when we pray in Lakota, we take good aim at our children, our women, and our people, and our pitiful. You know, that's why I appreciate these prayers he gives out. And for those of you out there, way over there in Russia, in Germany, in out in the islands by New Zealand, you know, I thank you for listening and hope that, you know, trying to share a word or two of what Tanashi says and Wakayansha, you know, it's real special to us.
Yeah.
We give lots of heart children, don't we?
Yeah. You know, the word Wakayansha, when you break it down, Wakan is in that word, the kids, the sacredness, you know, the Wakan. Wakan is one of the purest in this universe, and that is a part of Tunkashila's beings. They're the ones that control that. The Wakayansha, these kids that we have, we're just borrowing them. You know, they don't belong to us. We borrow them, and how we raise them, and how we take care of them, and how what we teach them reflects on us. And Wakayansha, because they're sacred, they're born with no ill intent of any type. All this racism, all this stuff that you see going on, that is taught. The hatefulness that exists in this world today, that is taught. We don't come with that from the other side onto this earth. We don't bring that here. It's here. It's people here that are that way. So the Wakan is those little kids, the ones that are coming, the ones that are here. You know, that's why, like, we have four different stages in life. You know, and every one of those is sacred to us. And the most sacred of all is this Wakayansha. The Wakan, they're here, they're innocent. And it's our teachings that reflect on these little kids. If you have a lot of hatred, your kids are going to be that way. If you have a lot of good thoughts, good feeling in your house, a lot of laughter, a lot of good feeling, your kids are going to be that way. So if you think about this world and the way it is today, those are learned. They're taught to these kids, Wakan, this Wakan, you're teaching that. You're taking that Wakan and you're training. And a lot of these people, like I talked about, during the 50s, 60s, 70s, clear up into the 80s, the Wakan of our people, they were forced, like Tanshi said, some relocation. But think about this. When you're loaded on the trains and shipped to schools like Carlisle, Marquette, those schools, and your little Wakan, your little Wakayansha, see, Think about that. Think of the traumatic experiences that those kids go through at 5, 6, 7 years. They're still babies. The white man, the evilness that that man has and the teachings of that white man, instead of teaching something good, they say assimilation, like Hanshi talked about, relocation. That's what that was about. They took the grown-ups after they stole all these kids and brainwashed them, taught them all this hatred, taught them how to be. And it goes back to what I talked about before when the chiefs went to Washington, D.C. and asked the great white father why these people were in these soup lines and they were begging for food. And the president of the United States had all kinds of food on his table. And these chiefs wanted to know why he ate so good, but yet these people outside were begging for food. And the president of the United States at that time told these Lakota chiefs, they choose to live that way. That's what he told them. So when they went home, they explained to the people, if we go that way, we're in trouble. And look at us today. You know, the Lakota that they took from us, it's showing today. They talk about traumatic experiences, how the grandmas pass it down to us. And this is scientific proof. There's scientific proof out there that this trauma, we inherit it from our grandmas. So when Tanshi talks about these women and the power they possess, think about that. You know, our grandmas passed a lot of traumatic experiences, Wounded Knee, Sand Creek, all those places. For no reason, I had a grandma, survivor of Wounded Knee, that used to cry. She'd sing her song, and she'd cry, and she'd tell a story about how she had her sister's hand, and they were running, and her sister fell, so she looked back, and the back of her head was gone. And she said, what did we ever do to those white men? We didn't say nothing. We didn't do nothing. And she said, this is what they did to us. She never understood why that hatred was so hard for the Indians. That's Wakan. See, that Wakanja, she was a little girl then. That traumatic experience, she carried that on into her adulthood. And she was my grandma. She was old. She was in her 80s, 90s. And she used to cry, and she said that she would never, ever trust the white man. She wanted no white man close to her. She had a knife. And she said, any time a white man comes close to me, I'm going to stab him up because of what they did to her. She said, we did them no harm. But yet, this is how they treat us, she said. And think about the hatred that they pushed out there. Now you talk about Wakan, see, that Wakan, that kid, that baby that was running with her sister and seen her sister get her head blown off. And she couldn't understand it. See. But the hatred that they showed her, the evil that they showed her, carried throughout her lifetime. Clear till the day she died. She never visited, she never talked to no white people. She hated white people. She didn't want no Washeeches around her at all. She didn't want nothing to do with Washeeches. And she said, why do they hate us for who we are and what we are? She said, they don't consider us humans. This is a traumatic experience. And they say we carry that stuff. Scientific proof proves that we carry that stuff. And we're born with it. So the Wakan part of our beings, our kids, it's just now starting to change. You know, but look at the destruction they already did. Look at our kids. A lot of our kids are stuck with drugs, this so-called rap, all this stuff, this outside influence, this bad influence affects every one of our kids on the reservation. And it's not good for us. But what are you going to teach a kid that, you know, you can't teach them anything good because look at what they did to us. Put us in prison camps. Put us in places where they thought there was nothing until they discovered oil, the minerals. Then they wanted our land again. to another traumatic experience. Bombing range. They moved all the families. I gave them a 24-hour notice. Some people didn't even have 24 hours. They used their houses as target practice. And it was all Indian reservations that they did this. Then they turn around now and they say, oh, forget about it. That was long ago. You know, how long ago was that? That wasn't too long ago. The destruction they did, like I say, in 200 years that they were here, a little over 200 years that they were here, the hatred, the destruction. You know, you can't even go out and drink water at a creek anymore. You can't. There's things that we used to do as kids. And today I look around, and that's gone. And it's not coming back in my lifetime. And I miss it because that was something that I wish my kids and my grandkids could experience and witness as a Wakaya Jah, as a sacred being. But because of Sky Chasha, that's these things, this hatred, these traumatic experiences, we're still dealing with it in a lot of ways. Like Tanshi said, that relocation, it probably did a lot of harm to my Tanshi there. You know, because at one time, like I say, Rosebud and Pine Ridge were one big tribe, Oglala. But yet they put the Washichu. Washichu said, oh, they bought up this land, separated us in half, and said, that's Rosebud and this is Oglala. What's the difference? Tanshi is my cousin, blood cousin there. But yet he's Rosebud and I'm Oglala. How is that? And this was done in 25, 30 years. So the Wakhan that they destroy. And we try to say, I'm related to Tanshi and a lot of people from his territory. But yet there's always running jokes about Rosebud and Oglala. No, we was one people at one time. And yet look at the destruction there. You know?
My aunt always told me, hey, quit making fun of them Oglalas. You're part Oglala.
Yeah, yeah. And we were one people, yeah. The division, the hatred that they teach, it blows my mind when I start thinking about some of the things that they're still doing to us. It blows
my
mind.
That's why, Tanshi, that's why in 1776, took Custer out. Those Lakotas that did that, they weren't in Rosebud. They weren't in Pine Ridge. They
yep.
were doing their thing, trying to preserve the unity that we had before the Washichu started throwing us in PO prisoner of war camp 344, 345, 346, you know. And et cetera, you know, and the other ones across the country, they weren't
yep.
going to have no part of that. Crazy
yep.
Horse and them weren't going to have no part of that. Sitting Bull, you know, they weren't going to have no part of that. And they didn't, you know. And that's why Custer was looking for them. He was looking for them. He didn't just bump across them. The government had him looking for them.
Yep.
Well, he found them on that day. And what he found was his last shit.
Yep.
You know? And,
yeah.
And, you know, and just like Tanshi said, and keep this in mind, what he said, you know, when he told about the young girl seeing her sister get her head blown off. She said, why are they doing this to us? Why? Why
yep.
are they doing this? And look in here. Keep this in mind. In Malay Massacre in Vietnam, the Washichu was there again. But this time, he has Hasa Paz. He has these proud Indian warriors that you see running around with Vietnam caps and, you know, and flying the American flag. This time at Malay Massacre, the white man had Hasapas with him. He had Indians with him. He had Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Italians, and all these races helping him be more evil, be more evil. In Malay Massacre, they took these, villagers and slaughtered them and threw them in a hole, similar like they did in Wounded Knee. And when they had them in that hole, they were shooting in that hole, continued shooting dead bodies. While a little baby crawled out from underneath his mother and was crying and started crawling up out of that hole through the bodies, a little baby. And what did they do? They all took aim and blasted them. About 5 or 10 U.S. soldiers blasted that poor little baby at the same time, could chop them up with those M16s, M1s, M14s, chopped him up, that little baby. And it wasn't just whites pulling the trigger. Now the white man had these other people of color helping him do this. But the white man was the one who controlled it. The white men were the officers, the one wearing the medals, Lieutenant Cowley, you know. How does somebody murder a baby crawling out, a poor baby? How do they do that? Well, today they're still doing this. Today they're still killing babies, you know. One guy, they kicked me off Facebook the other day because I posted about a little girl disappeared, a four-year-old girl, her and her sister. Some post guy, our trash guy, or somebody found the sister. And so right away they're looking for the other sister. And anyway, long story short, this little girl, white girl, a blonde white girl, baby, beautiful baby white girl. And notice this, I am not racist. I love children. You know, they're beautiful, whether they have blonde hair, blue eyes, or what, black, kinky hair, or what. They're babies. I love them to death. I play with them when I see them. They're Wakayansha, you know? Yep. And they're pure. They have no racism. Why are they killing them? Well, this white guy, for some reason, the parents of this baby lost custody and ended up to a program foster and ended up giving them to these two idiots, man and woman. And they're watching a four-year-old and five-year-old little girls that are not theirs, that they have no love for, just getting money for. And somehow this little girl upset this grown bully man, where he beat the shit out of this four-year-old baby with fists. And here he noticed he killed her. And the woman is watching. And when he seen that he killed her, he laid her on her back and with big force, he punched her in the chest 4 or 5 more times, crushing her chest. Then he grabbed this little girl, this white man. He grabbed this little girl and took off out the door. And then he came back without her and told that woman, he said, I buried her, and don't you say a damn thing. You see? They're still doing that. A few weeks ago, a FedEx driver, a white boy, kidnapped a 7-year-old white girl. He delivered a package, and there's a little white girl out in the driveway. He grabbed her, nabbed her, sold her in the FedEx truck, took her and raped her, whatever, and all that, and just dumped her body. They're still doing this.
Yep.
And how many police officers have killed babies? And then they say, oh, it was an accident. It was no accident. They're still doing this, you know? And this kind of action, activity to kill a baby, how do you do this? where does this come from? It's not in me. It's not in Tahashi. It's not in none of you. We love children. How does one group of people do this? Yeah, they say somebody in a drug deal in Fresno or over there in Northern California, some kind of way, shot up a house, killed people in the house, and then they got the 16-year-old girl, shot her up and killed her baby in the head. You see, this murderous thing that people have, where did they get it from? They learn behavior, like she says. Learn behavior. These people, when you start living out in the city, out away from your cultures, and living out there and start messing with drugs, messing with alcohol, and accidentally, unfortunately, bumping heads with Washitu, living in a police society, and all this stuff, you start having more hate, and then you watching TV and you want to show off how tough you are, and you're dealing drugs, and somebody don't pay $5, so you go kill them over $5 because you're disrespected. These people have lost all touch, and I'm not going to say our people don't do this. Our people have done this. One of my relatives' daughters killed her own son in Porcupine a couple years back, and then her mom helped hide the evidence. They're both in prison right now. But why did this happen? Because she started using meth, because they're using Washitu drugs, because I know these people. All they do is use Washitu alcohol, Washitu, listen to rap, listen to all the ugly things going out there. Yeah, I blame the rap music because the rap music is taking away our culture. It's sabotaging our spirituality, all these things. You know, all these things, music does this. Those country musicians, you know, Garth Brooks and all of them, they're racist. Kenny, what's his name? You know, sing with Dolly Parton. Kenny Rogers. All of them.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers. Yeah, they're all racist. You know, and Indians are stupid. You know, Garth Brooks was doing a gig in Montana. Indian women loved him so much, they told star quilts on the stage. What did he do? Walked over and kicked them off the stage. You know, when are people going to learn? We're never going to get in with that crew of people. Never. But keep in mind this, you know, in the beginning of time, Wakantanka made all of us, all the races. He made the tigers, the lions, the elephants, the giraffes, everything unique, the long necks, the trunks, the stripes, the colors of man, the colors of our eyes, the hair, the curly hair, the kinky hair, the straight hair. He made all this in the beginning of time. And he gave us all chanchega, a drum. He gave us all these sacred ways to live by. But somehow, one of these groups, They talk about how Cain killed Abel, you know, keep in mind from what they make it look to me. I wasn't there. I do not believe these stories, but I will share the story whether I believe it or not. Cain killed Abel. I read this in the Bible. I was in the whole shoe unit in prison, and all they put in there was a Bible. So I read this sucker. You know, I read it. It was like a book to me. It wasn't no holy doctrine. I just read this book and read all this. And it talked about how when Cain killed Abel, they said God, who I call, Wakantanka, Tonkashila, came down and cast a spell on all of Cain's people, a dark shadow. You know, a dark shadow. Here's the other thing I always get with this story. If Adam and Eve were the first two people, and their children were sons. They don't have no mention of no daughters. Keep this in mind. No mention of no daughters. I read this book like two or three times sitting in the hole for months, you know. I read it. I know some of these verses and stuff too. But keep in mind, Adam and Eve had two sons. And when Cain killed Abel, he went out, they said, he knew a wife. Well, what the hell was that wife? If they were the only people on earth. That's why I think it was either an ape, a goat, or some kind of bestiality he did that created these other creatures that walk amongst mankind today. That story's true. It's true. I don't believe it. I believe that we all were created some kind of way. We're star people. We didn't just come here. Our people, Don, she was talking about babies, you know, and I look at the older you get, the more knowledge you have of what you have, your children, your babies. And you realize when they were born, you were responsible as a father and mother for giving birth to this baby. But where did that baby really come from? Well, in my belief, from being Karen Chanupa and all these things and knowing Allery, I believe we came through time. My babies came through time, through thousands and millions of years from someplace and traveled through time, in and out of different zones, different ways. And we were privileged to be the parents of these spirits that came out that are our babies. Because you look at our babies, we share this and that with our babies. He looks like his dad. He looks like his mom. He's sweet like his mom. She's this and that. But there's also something unique about these babies. They have their own mind. They have their own little ways about them that makes you say, "Dad," you know. I remember I used to sit there in the room on playing guitar on a computer, and my baby was like 4 months old. She couldn't walk, 5 months old, but she knew where the refrigerator was, and she could only crawl. So I'd be sitting there playing guitar or something, and she'd go, and I'd hear her in the kitchen in there making noise. A little while later, she'd come crawling up to me with a bag of grapes. She opened the fridge, grabbed some grapes, and brought them to me because she's a girl. She wants to feed Papa. She brings me these grapes. Where'd she get that from? You know, I didn't teach her that. Her mom didn't teach her that. Where'd they learn this stuff? They have this knowledge from our bloodline that comes back, goes back thousands of years. She picked that up from one of our grandmas maybe 50,000 years ago, maybe 100,000 years ago. As they travel through time, they pick up little things in their journeys, and ta-da, they show up to us with all these unique little gifts of, you know, that they have. And I'm not going to take credit for a lot of things. We're parents. Yeah, he's just like me. Yeah, she's just like his mother. Or either, you know, I'm not taking credit for a lot of the stuff they do. They got this from someplace else down the line where they came from. And these things is how, what makes me wake up to the real genuine creation of our people. All of us came through time. Remember, what he says to you was given to him by Tonkashilas, 100,000 years ago. So when he's talking to you, especially when he says, when he prays in Lakota, that isn't Bimber. That's Sumtong Kashila 100,000 years ago. We're sharing gifts to the world from Tonkashila's 100,000 years ago. It ain't Bimber. Bimber was chosen to spread his gift, you know? And where did I get my little stuff from? You know, my dad didn't play guitar. My mom didn't play guitar. Where did I get this music ability from? I didn't get it from Nowashichu. For some reason, hundreds of thousands of years back, someplace down the line, people always made music. That's why we all had drums. You know, on my travels around the world, I notice every culture has a traditional drum. Them Russians make their own drums, and they look like our drums. We didn't get the drums from the Russians. I could say we gave the Russians the drums, but you look at them, and when I was there, there's even bands, you look on the internet, cultural bands, and you'll see them playing the hand drums in their music. You know, some of these white cultures still contain their indigenous white blood from 100,000 years ago. But these American Washichus are totally different. So I say this, there was an evil that shot through time, and they came out in this country on that. They showed up in England, and they were different. They were different than the rest of the white people. That's why they chose to come over here, because they were different. Their people shunned them, didn't like them. There was something about these people. They were wicked. So they got rid of them. They shunned them. You know, Columbus and all these people, those Spaniards. I don't know this, but I have a lot of common sense. And common sense is really important when you're living in this world. You know, when they say we came from China and I can't even eat rice, you know what I mean? When they try to throw something out there and you have common sense, shit, am I part Chinese? Well, how come I can't eat rice then? You know, how come I'm, you know, I don't mind fish, but, you know, my diet ain't fish. It's tatanka, you know, it's meat. It's buffalo, you know, it's meat, deer meat, wild meat. Why do I have this taste for that? Because I'm not Chinese. It's not in me. You know, look at your what you eat, you know, and check it out. Check out why only two people I know in this world eat Taniga, and that's Mexicans and Lakotas. They have menudo, and we have anywhere in the world. When you ask for Taniga, they say, damn, I don't even feed my dog that. You know? I mean, that right there shows a uniqueness. Why are we eating Taniga? You know? You know, why is this? Look at that. Why is it taste so damn good to us, you know? And other people, ooh, you know? And there's people won't eat deer meat, you know? By the way, I want to say something. I'm not all here happy today because 3 days ago, I lost a beautiful little niece of mine to cancer.
Uh-huh. You know,
she passed away, my sister's daughter. Her name was Margaret, a beautiful Lakota girl. Well, her dad was Wallapa, you know. But the Lakota was in there. And one of the biggest things that I always think of, she's so special to me. I remember a lot of things about her life. You know, she was a tap dancer. You know, one time we were doing a big concert in L.A. The first time we showed up in L.A., that day before the concert, we're going to perform that day in Long Beach. You know, my band members are pacing the floor all nervous. Oh, today we're going to perform the first time in a big stage, you know, TV and all this stuff, limousines, all the nine yards. Oh. And my niece, Margaret, guess what? She was performing in Disneyland. She had a big audience. She was going to perform at Disneyland. About 5,000 people were going to show up for her gig, and she was out there performing as a tap dancer, Lakota girl tap dancer, and all this stuff. And she was sitting there eating, you know, and my band members, everybody, even me, I'm kind of nervous. I said, hey, Margaret, man, you know, you're going to perform in Disneyland. How come you ain't running around all nervous? She said, well, I'm just going to go out there and do what I do. Why should I be nervous about that? You know, she had no stage fright, nothing. She showed up in Disneyland and kicked ass over there. You know, and here I'm with grown men and they're walking around all scared. Yeah. She said, yeah, they just need to. I said, look at these guys. Look at, they can't. They're sitting there with ants in their. She said, they just need to take a chill pill, you know. But, you know, the other thing is, when I used to go visit my mom, I would haul deer meat. You know, I like to go to California. I take what they don't have over there to my family, deer meat or elk meat or buffalo meat, you know. Whenever I go to California, or even just Kamats, they appreciate Kamats, city Indians, you know. So I'd load up Kamats, I'd load up deer meat and all this. And when I went there, I remember I brought that deer meat. My sister had the working on them and whipped it out and Margaret chopping it up and she's cooking it. She told her brother, here, you want some of this? You going to eat some of this? He said, hell no, I ain't eating none of that. You know, her brothers, none of them want to eat this deer meat. She said, I don't care. I'm eating it. She said, me and uncle are going to eat it. And she cooked it up. She fried this deer meat, don't she? You know how we like deer meat, right? She fried it up with onions. She's fried this up with onions, and you know, and then she made badass potatoes, and then with the juice, she made a badass gravy, you know.
Just me and her
sat there and ate this delicious, you know, food.
Yep.
This meat. And here's my stupid nephews rather eat a Snickers candy bar than this deer meat. You know? With their stupid haircuts. American haircuts. And here she has long hair and, you know, she's a Lakota girl, you know, my Margaret. Whether she tapped that, no matter what she did, she was eating that deer meat with Uncle, with Lex Shee, you know? Why was this? You know, why did she have this taste for this beautiful meat? You know? And
yep.
I always remember that about her. And she's always, when my mother passed away, they were having a ceremony cut in the air. I remember she was the first one in line, you know, for my mom. Well, she's named Margaret. My mom's named Margaret, you know? But yep. You see, This things about her was really strong, the Lakota culture, that she carried for these 100,000 years through time, and she still had it till she left 3 days ago. Now she's on another journey, and she'll take that blessing she showed up with to her next place. And that's how we live. That's how we're going to be. And if you don't live your life right, you're going to lose that connection in your journey. And you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be. Those of us that came through these times 100,000 years ago through the time is because our spirit were walking the right road all the way down the line, all the way, every skip, hop, and step, all the way through time till Tennessee Vember shows up here tonight, and I'm here, and you're here. We brought this with us because we, that spirit in us, never lost the connection. It's our job to keep that connection so when we move to our next journey, we take it with us. You know? So this spirit that we carry with us is a beautiful spirit that was unblemished. But now we come to a time when the Washichu spirit, that Kane spirit or whatever the hell, that Lieutenant Cali spirit, these ugly spirits are trying to sabotage our journey to our next place. They're going to sabotage it if you let them. They're going to kill it if you let them. Are you going to let them do that by trying to lose this connection we have with our ancestors? We're on a new stage right now. We're the new people, and the ones younger than us are the modern people, and they're the threat that we face. They're the ones that are destroying, sabotaging our way of life. And how can we stop this? That's the point. You see, that's the point. And that's why when Tehashi prayed, when he said, when he used that word, Wakayansha, he mentioned this. His spirit brought that out. His spirit that came through those 100,000 years reminded us where we got to be. Wakayansha, they brought us purity. We were babies before, all of us. Even Tashi, he was probably a cute little guy, dimples in his paws, you know.
There you go. You know?
He probably still had a little tail sticking out of his butt.
There you go.
I had
that hairy elephant. I had my hairy elephant with me. My buddy.
But so you see this journey we're on. We're on it tonight. We're still on it. And we're telling you this. Don't believe me if you don't want. Don't believe Tehashi if you don't want. Don't believe.
You know, Tehashi, there's something that really bothers me about this Washichu Sky Chasha and the so-called Holy Bible that you was talking about.
Yeah.
Our culture, our way of life, hasn't changed for thousands of years. The compassion, the heartfelt prayers that we pray about. And you look at this Bible and this Washichu. The only times the Washichus talk about Jesus Christ and God is when they want to steal something or they want to take over something. They really pushed that in the name of God.
When they got a gun to their head, don't you? When they got a gun to their head. When they got a gun to their head. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. That's when they think of God.
Yep.
When the gun's to their head.
You know, but look
and
at the
like
evilness.
She said.
You know, look at the evilness that they practice with that so-called Bible. I don't get it. You know, why is it that they do that? Why do they teach all this hate, this murderous, whatever mind that they got, like he was talking about, these people that killed that little girl. What has that little girl done to them? How did she hurt them? She might have taken some time because she was dependent on him to grow up, but yet they cut her life short.
And
they're probably Christian.
Why?
You know?
Tell us, why did Facebook throw me off for posting that? article.
Yep. Yep.
That shows you that Facebook don't were supported this baby killing, and they didn't like me mentioning it. They kicked me off Facebook for what, 48 hours. They said it made it sound like they're in charge. Ah, you're restricted for 7 more hours. You're restricted for 2 more hours. You know, I don't give a crap. You know.
Yep.
Only
you know when you start telling the truth about Christianity, for some reason these people that have these like Facebook and all these places, they get real butthurt when the truth starts coming out, and they say it goes against our policy for hatred. No, it's not hatred, it's the truth. You know, and that's, for some reason, they hate that, Hanshi. And that's like this, like you said, you posted something. And they don't want it out there. Because to them, that's okay. It's okay for those white guys to do that. They don't want it out there to where somebody could take it and make heads and tails of it and say, hey, that's wrong. They don't want that. They want to keep the hate and the murderous ways of their Bible, of their gifts, or whatever, the Christianity that they practice. They want to keep pushing that. And that's why I say, like these Carlisle's, all these places, Marquette, where these Indian boarding schools were, prominent schools nowadays. But yet they have little babies, Lakota babies, buried around all those places. You know, why?
Something.
Yeah, why, you know? And look at, they don't even blink. They have no compassion. They have no, that's why I say they have no spirit. Because they don't. Me and you got spirit. Layla's got spirit, see? We're different. We're different beings. Like I say, our Chalupa tells us Wa'oshila, teaches us what's Wa'kun, what's sacred. And we live by that, Hanshi. Why can't they do that?
Do you know that word, Unchila, how the white man interprets that word? How they interpret that word? Do you ever check how they interpret that word? They interpret that word. Our interpretation of that word is way different than when you say it in English. And when you say it in English, when you say pitiful, they view that word pitiful in a totally different way. You know? They take it as pitiful person is weak, a scumbag, you know, a low life, without brain development, and all this stuff. That's how they look at it. You see, their interpretation of life, of our creation, is a joke to them. That's why the American, the United States of America, only been around for 246 years, because their brain is only 246 years of development. You know, and our development comes from hundreds of thousands of years of flying through time and sharing this life with the lions, the giraffes, the horses, the whales, the fish, the palm tree, the sage, the oak tree, the spruce tree. We shared this life with all of Wakantanka's creations. What the hell did they share it with coming through time? You know, when you get off on this and really start thinking, and I'm not high on weed either. You know, this is just normal me having my own brain development and common sense to look deep into where we came from and where we're going. So we need to live here like we did where we came from. We must have came from someplace good if we love humanity. If we love babies, if babies are cute to us, we must have came from someplace good. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, think about this, another thing, like in death. It's all a part of Wichoni. Wichunta is a part of that, see. But you look at the way they bury their people, and now everybody does it. They dig a hole and they put that person in there. And then not too long ago, when we were in scalpels, the scaffolding or tied up in trees or put, like, buried somewhere with rocks on top of us. Animals, the grass, we gave back our bodies to what we were before. See, why do we have to be put in a box and buried and not decomposed for thousands of years or however long it takes for a coffin to, you know? Think about that. The earth isn't replenishing with our bodies the way it's supposed to. They don't see that. They don't look at that like that, see? We do. When our bodies are through and we're going to leave this earth, we go back to feeding the grass, the birds, the animals that eat us. But yet, now look at how they bury people. They have these, some kind of coffins that last for thousands and thousands of years, you know. And look at these people that they found in these tombs, see. Why is it? Why did they want to preserve their bodies? Why didn't they get back to where they came from? Why? How come they didn't want to feed the grass or the buffalo or these wild animals could eat it so we could eat them? It's a big old cycle. For us, it's a cycle. Why are they burying all these people like the way they are? I never could understand that. I still don't understand. And that's why I say, when I die, I don't want to be put in a coffin. I want to be wrapped in a buffalo robe and put underground. You know, so I could turn back to the earth, help the grass grow. So animals could come and enjoy, you know, enjoy that grass. You know, I'm going to be a fertilizer, you know. And that's something, you know, why are they so afraid of their bodies going back to the earth? I don't know. There's a lot of things that the Washitu, the sky chasha, you know, this invasive species, the things they came up with, the things that they teach, you know, like this cryogenic stuff now. They're freezing the bodies from 100,000 years from now. If they find a life that makes you live forever, they're going to bring them out and bring them back. You know, bring them back. That's not the way it works. Wakunka gave us a cycle. Mimea, you know, in a round circle, like the ages, like the flags at the sun has, like the universe, round. That's how it's supposed to work. But yet, Skali Chasha destroyed all of that. He's still trying to destroy it to this day, along with everything else. They square everything off. Oh, that's mine. They'll shoot you. They'll kill you because they claim it. They'll shoot you. And at one time, we used to walk through, like I say, not too long ago, we could go from Oglala all the way clear across the rest in the Rosebud on horseback. But nowadays we can't do that because all these Washitus fence that stuff off and they won't let you set foot on it. Oh, you're destroying my grass from my cows, you know? And yet they don't want to put their bodies, they don't want to put their bodies out there to grow that grass so these animals could eat it, see? To me, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just my thinking or something, but, you know, they're all confused. The Christianity that's out there today is totally confused. They don't understand Wichoni at all. They don't understand Wakayaja. They want a bunch of robots. That's what it is. And they talk about a pure race, whatever that means, you know. I never understood that either. You know, look at us country.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the rejects, like I was telling you about, Custer's grandkids, the Yellowbird steals of Pine Ridge. When that lady tried to take them to Custer's people, the white people, they refused those kids because they were Indians. They were savages. Custer's own kids were not accepted by the white people unless they had white mothers. A bunch of his kids grew up on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Lakotas took them in and raised them like their own. That's how there's black people, there's all kinds of people that the government abandoned when they were on these campaigns. Buffalo soldiers, you name it. Lakotas pitied them, brought them back to a lot of them. A lot of the women that they say got captured or got, when they start fighting this, a lot of those women did not want to go back to the Washita way because they loved the way the Indians lived. They enjoyed that because they had freedom. Look at them today. And all this hatred, like I say, all this stuff that the racism, you know, white privilege, they call it, you know. And that stuff didn't exist back in the day. They made all that stuff up. And they're still practicing it to this day. All these things that the Sky Chasha, the Americans, so-called American, and they say, oh, we're looked upon as the greatest nation on earth. Well, why? Why is that? It's because you got a bunch of bombs that you could drop on them and you threaten them constantly.
Yeah.
And you start wars, you know. Look at what they're doing over in Russia, Zelensky. How much drones, how much weaponry have they given that guy to fight their own people? I don't get it. Then they want to talk bad about Putin. We don't know Putin. He's never done nothing to us. They remind me of what they did to Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, and all our leaders. They villainized those people, said how bad they were back in the day, and they weren't that way to us. They were only fighting for us to be here and to be left alone, to live the way that Tsongkhashla wanted us to live. That's what they fought for. And yet, nowadays, you read some of these things in these books. Man, oh man, the lies. You know, instead of telling the truth, you know, they lie so much about, they put a picture of Sitting Bull, make some kind of concocted story. They don't tell the truth of why they killed him. They glamorize it, you know, like they knew him, you know. And these are predictions that Atsun Kashla said. Sitting Bull even said, Crazy Horse even said that. They're going to act like they know me. They're going to act like they were in my household. And it's happening today. Geronimo, same thing. You know, oh, he was such a great man. You know, why was he great now? Why wasn't he great back then when he was fighting for his people to survive? That's the Skali Chasha, when they say they come from ape, I believe it. 2,023 years ago, Chunkai Chasha and Sky Chasha came together. And 2,023 years ago, the results of it are today here in America. It's actually Sky Chashas with no brains.
Hey, wait a minute. Somebody answer that door. Somebody's knocking. Anyway, let me say something here. Wayne. Philip, give us an opinion what we're talking about. What do you think about it? What do you think about what me and Wimber talk about, you know?
Well, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you.
What's your opinion
children,
of the whole thing?
The spirits, where we come from, you know? I've been around a lot of other tribes in my many years of life and ate with different tribes. You know, I never ran across a tribe that was disrespectful to me for being Lakota. I learned that all tribes get along with each other, and we're happy to give food to our, you know, when I show up, they're happy to feed me. When they show up, I'm happy to feed them. You know, something about food and things, you know, we have this thing in common, Native tribes. And when me and Tashi talk, it isn't just the Lakota thing. That's why I was wondering about what you and Wayne thought, you know, about, you know, our belief, the way, you know, like our souls, how we travel through time, through all this, not our souls, the souls that blessed us. They're, you know, they're the ones that travel with us. They're the ones that here with us, you know.
Well, our
the white man,
Mexica beliefs are very, very similar. Very similar. There's no death is only it's a cycle. It's part of the cycle. You know, you never truly die if you think about it, because you have your generations that you've created to keep your memory alive. You know, they have this, they do this thing that's, ever since photography had started, the Mexicans started putting out this, what they call an ofrenda. And ofrenda is basically like an altar, a family altar. And you put your family's pictures on there, so that they're not forgotten. It reminds you of the people that came before you, that made it possible for you to be here. But yeah, it's basically the same thing. It's a cycle. You never truly die. Your energy goes out there, you know, to the stars.
And you know, you have a son, you have children. You know, when you look at Lucas and stuff like that, look at his eyes and look at things he does, you know, do you take credit for all of that?
No. No, I don't.
Because you know he came from someplace deep beyond. You know that when you look at him and you realize
he's a different spirit himself.
Yeah.
You know?
And we can't take credit for a lot of these things, you know. And it's, you know, that's for that reason. Not only do I get my knowledge from the past and from praying and Sundance and being around spiritual people and being, you know, like being known Vember and going through doing life with Vember, you know, and knowing his kids, remembering his mother, knowing his brothers, and them knowing my brother, you know, you know, these things, you know, sharing time with each other as family. These things we have are common. And a lot of things you can say we learned from the past, the people that gave us this information. But then inside of it, inside of Ember, inside of myself, inside of you, inside of everybody, there's a part of us that speaks that wasn't taught. Nobody taught us. Nobody gave us this information. This information comes with us when we're born. We were born with this information when our journey came out through our parents. We had this information in this journey that we came from through other families, through other mothers and fathers and grandpas and so on for hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years. We, you know, the Washichu will say, oh, mankind only been around till 100,000 years. because we came from the ape, you know. But that ain't true. we came from an endless, we're walk on Tonka. It's endless. Go look in the sky and try to see how far you can see. That right there tells you that there's endless. The journey tells you can't say where it came from, and you can't say where it's going to just by looking at the sky. So how can a Washichu come up and start telling us the moon was created here and the moon? There was no way a moon could be here without Earth. There's no way Earth could be here without the sun. There's no way the sun and our universe could be there without others and others and others, and without Wakantanka, without...
You know, Koshi, there's a thing that Washichus really miss, too. Check the sun out. Why does it time and time again rise every day? And it's still burning. Why hasn't it burnt out? How come the moon never burnt out? See, there's a lot of mystery out there that Wakantanka made that. He made that possible.
Why is Saturn? How about Saturn? That's my favorite planet, the most beautiful planet. I even made that in the logo for my rock band. You know. Saturn is so beautiful. The first one time I seen it, you know who showed it to me? Remember Rick's nephew? He kind of pissed at me right now. But that Lone Hill, Mark, remember Mark? Lone Hill. He's kind of one of these guys that, you know, he's bright and talented. Yeah. Well, he showed up one time at the NEPI with a telescope. I never looked through a telescope before. This was years ago, you know, and he showed up. And he said, what do you want to see? I said, show me Saturn. He looked up in the sky and he started cranking this thing up. He had a tripod and started cranking stuff up and looked at it and honed it. He said, there it is. Now look at it. I looked in there and I seen Saturn, and seen those rings around that planet.
Yeah.
For reals, this wasn't something I had been reading it in a book, reading it in a book. I had been seeing pictures of this, but now I'm looking at this sucker like I'm looking like I looked at you for real. And that planet was. I just stayed on that. I was at the NEPI. I stayed on that, you know. I had my ass sticking way out and my eye down in there, and I was looking at this planet for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, Mark said he wanted to get ready for an EP, but here I am hogging his telescope. I said, damn, you know, it was just something that, why is something so beautiful way in the hell out there where nobody could see it, because it's beautiful because Wakantanka can see it, because there's other things out there that can see this beauty that we can't see, you know.
Yep.
And I realized that God, Wakantanka, has many flowers in his garden where he can look at that we ain't going to see, you know. You know, we're never going to see. And no matter how Washichu tries, he ain't never going to see him either. No matter how many stupid vehicles he makes to go out there and look at him, he ain't never going to see him. He ain't going to see all the flowers of Wakantanka. Only Wakantanka can see them. And for those of us that honor Wakantanka and honor the universe and honor everything, we get a privilege. We're going to see some of these flowers. If not this journey, we're going to see them on our way out. You know?
You know,
because
there's another thing that people really have a misconception about is this, the so-called pipe. They call it chanupana. You know,
yeah.
long before it was chanupa, it was tachanupa. That was the proper way. Tachanupa. See, two bodies, because it takes the stem and the bowl. And the way they explained it to the Lakota people was the stem was the man and the bowl was the woman. And you unite the two to keep that Wichoni alive. See? And if you look at it, creation is like that, see, a man and a woman.
And the,
but the woman
and the
is that stone.
Is, the, yeah, the woman is that hot yeah. one.
Yeah. See, and we come this far. The slang that a lot of this is happening is we're forgetting the tachan part of chanupa. See, tachanupa. See, chanupa. That's it's kind of a slang for tachanupa.
Yeah. If you see it, once you know that, you can't say it or you're missing of something. After
yeah,
you know that,
yeah.
when you say chanupa, there's something missing, you know?
Yeah.
And you say, chanupa. Then you know, then
and
it's
look,
all there.
Yeah, and if you look at creation, the stories behind it, it takes male and female. Everything is male and even plants. Everything is male and female. And Washichus, they don't understand those things, see? They don't understand stuff like that. And they, oh, it's a great mystery. No, it's not. That's how, like you were saying, Wakantanka and that planet you talked about. That's how he created these things, see? And if common sense, like me and you, Tanshi, we understand that. But why is it so hard for the Skawi Chasha to understand that? The Wakantanka part of it. And yet they have a Bible, a book that's about 4 foot thick, interpreted what, and tore apart millions of times to their liking, to con people.
To their liking.
And we, like I say, we've never changed our ways from way back in the day. We've always come with this. Our way of life is still that way today. It never changed. And this next generation, when you look at it, Tanshi, we're losing it. That's the part that's scary to me. And that's why I talk about this Wakanyaja. This Wakanyaja, see. I raised my kids as close to that as I could. As close. It's not perfect. I can't be like those old people, but as close as I could.
Tanshi, this young society right now don't know anything past their 10th birthday or 6th birthday. They don't remember. They don't know nothing when they were 5 years old. They don't care about that.
Yep.
I picked up one today and had him come over and help. He helped me out. He's a good young man. Well, I was talking to him. He didn't even know that our res was a prisoner of war camp. He didn't even know that. He Lakota didn't even know what the 3, 4, 5 stand for on our enrollment, He didn't even know that. They don't know nothing about our past. All they care about is what's next. And what's next with them is the next rap song. Who's
going to
make the next rap song,
Yeah. Today I had Antonio with me. And he drove me up, he's driving me around. And me and him came home and he sat down. And he said, Dad, I got a question for you. So I said, yeah. And he said, where does this blood quantum stuff come from? He said, who started that and why?
Yeah.
And I told him, that's not That wasn't us. I said, that was a scowy chacha to try to terminate us. And I kind of explained to him their plan was when they took that treaty of 1868 back to Chicago and they changed it around. And back when they first did it, the women, there was a lot of women that was married to these chiefs, sometimes four, five, six wives. But they subtracted the women from these men. Then they said, see, it was a consensus. Three-quarters of the people were supposed to come to terms, to agreement, to give up, to cede land. That's what that was about. But they took it, and they put blood quantum in it, three-quarters. And today, that's why I say we're the only people, on this earth that have blood degrees, besides horses and dogs and, you know, animals. We have blood degrees. Why is that? See, and that's their way of termination. And when, like,
you
I always
know,
tell people, it's dangerous because when the full bloods and the three-quarter bloods are gone, they're going to say there's no more India. There's no more. You're all white people now. That's their goal, see.
Tashi, let me say this.
Go ahead.
My mom has a sister, right? Her sister.
Yeah.
Her kids, she married a white man, right? Her kids can't be enrolled because they don't have enough blood. They're my cousins. How is it? So according to them, they're not Lakota because they can't be enrolled. But to me, they're my cousins. How can my cousins not be Lakota just because of what Shichu says?
Yep.
You know?
See, that's what I'm
and
talking. That's
understand.
What I'm talking.
And here's the other thing. Now, me and them are first cousins, but they can't be Lakota. They can't get enrolled. But both my kids, all my kids are enrolled.
Yep. You know, Tushy, that goes back to what, you know, that goes back to what Philip talked about. When he met our people and these women that took him in and taught him, you know, there was no Lakota or Apache or anything there. He was looked at as one of us, a Lakota. So he was a Lakota to all of them. Like I told you, when I say Lakota, that includes all these other tribes. I don't know how to say, you know, I could say Tonka, but that means enemies. So I include all of them by saying Lakota. See? And that's
we don't have
to look at it.
We don't have time. We don't have time to break all this down. So we say Lakota. That means all of us. That means you're my brother.
Hey, guys. You saying that reminds me of what Uncle Keith Lussier said at Sundance when he was talking about Anishinaabes. He goes, we're all Anishinaabe here. He said, you got Lakotas that are Anishinaabes and Cree that are here, they're Anishinaabe. And he said Anishinaabe means first people.
Yep.
So you have first people of you know, different nations.
And see, that's the thing. That's the thing that I was talking about. Why is it that we're the only ones, the native people here in so-called America, which we knew as the Apalachicola? But yet, why is it that we're the only people that have these categories? And that's what my boy was talking about. He asked me about that. He said, Dad, you know, that's my cousin over here. But since that's, you know, they're married to this one now. So then they got Mexican. They said, why are they looked at as, like Tunchi was saying. He said, well, how come they Lakota like us, you know? He said, what's the difference? And why is it that they carry Indian blood, but yet there's a degree to it? He said, to me,
same
he said, they're still my cousins.
Same grandmas.
You know? Yeah.
Same
so he
grandmas.
Said, they're still
same
my cousins.
Grandmas.
Yeah. And he couldn't understand it. See, and I had to explain to him, this is the Washita way of trying to terminate us and make us Skawi Chasha, see, to be one of them. I don't want to be one of them because of, like I was talking about, our teachings are so pure and so good that all these people that come to Sundance, I've had people from, geez, Canada, clear down to South America, Sundance. You know that country, they Sundance with us. We treated them just like I would treat you, just like I would treat my brother. We're all in it together. See? And I would,
when we're in that circle of Sundancing, we all look Lakota.
Yeah, and that's what it should be. But we get these, they give Muzza Scott to this one tribe over here. Oh, we give you all this because you're better. So that's the act that they put on, like these casino rich Indians now. They're all Washichu now. They don't want to be Indian because they have the money. They're Skawichasha now. They don't want nothing to do with us. Oh, you're dirty Indian, you know? I mean, you know, they're all gated off. They don't visit people anymore, nothing. There's no freedom.
Do you ever notice how a person's attire changes their personality the minute they change attire? If a guy puts on if a Lakota's dressed like us, raggedy, he's Lakota. But the minute that sucker puts on a shirt and a tie, that sucker kind of walks the other way. You ever notice that?
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah.
That
sucker
jumps on the other side of the fence real quick. You know? When then he don't just walk away, he kind of skips away. You know? I trip on that. How
they struck,
attire.
You know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just by change of attire. Like some of them will have a bandana on, and then when they put a cowboy hat on, they become a different person.
Yep.
So what the hell? Then they start getting along with the Washichu better. Put a cowboy hat on and go over and hang out in the bar with the Washichu. But if you show up in the bar with a bandana on, then you got war. But if you throw a cowboy hat on, they're going to hang out in a cowboy shirt, you know, a pink one, you know. Go hang out over there. You know? Ain't that a trip? You ever notice that?
Yeah, and see, that's what my boy was asking me. See, and that's, to him, he has a big old question mark of why is this, see? And so me, myself, I tell him, like I said, look at it this way. I said, I'm from South Dakota, I'm Oglala. I said, I'm down here in Pomo country. I said, it's no different. They're all my redemptions.
No.
I said, because I'm married to it, you know? And I said, we're all related. That's how we're related.
I said,
there's no difference.
And she looks Lakota to me.
And that's what I'm saying. And he wanted to know why, because they have a Mexican father that they ain't Lakota. He said, it doesn't make sense to me. He said, that I grew up with them. Those are my cousins. You know, it just kind of blew me away because of the way he looked at it, see? And he said, they're my cousins.
That was good,
you know? Yeah. See, and so me, myself, I have to explain to him that it's a white thing. See, it's a Washichu thing because of their plans, their 200-year plan or 20-year plan. Or, you know, like I say, look what they did in 246 years to the so-called fatherland. You know, look at it. We can't even go down the creek and drink. Look at all this water, all this rain. But yet nobody could go down the creek and get water. Not too long ago. It wasn't like that. It rained for days, but yet you could still go down the creek and get water and drink it. Not anymore. The destruction that they've done, it's unbelievable how these sky chasha think. And then yet you have people like that guy on the last talk show where he was trying to, oh, you smoke the peace pipe, you go drink at the bar. I remember him pasta, all this other shit, you know? Stereotypical Washichu mind. They don't see the pureness that we carry with us. They can't see inside of us because we have a nagi, we have a spirit, and we have to maintain that spirit. And we can't be hateful like them. And that's why I say, look at Custer's kids. His own people, his kids, Custer's people did not want those kids. Wakanyaja. So the Lakota raised them. And that's, you know, the compassion, the feeling, the what we have. That's why I said Philip. Look at Philip. When he came to us, nobody treated him any different. They accepted him. He is who he is. He's still a Lakota. He's one of us. He understands now the beauty of our life, our way of life. And that's the thing. He could come pray with us. Yeah, he might be from a different area, but he belongs there, see? And those things, that's, you know, to me, that's a beautiful thing, like my son was saying. What's the difference? Who decides that, you know? And to him, it's, I guess it confused him because he didn't understand what the hell, you know, why they were saying they were Mexican, they can't be enrolled, see? And I told him that's, you know, that's how I explained that, like Rosebud and Pine Ridge, what they did to us there, see? I said, just that move by taking that farmland and saying that's Washichu, now it's Rosebud and Pine Ridge, and they pinned us against each other, or they tried. But I said, all those people in Rosebud are still Oglala, so what's the difference, you know? My relation's over there, and they're over here, you know? I said, just a tract of farmland that Sky Chasha took over, separated us, and tried to say, oh, you're better than these guys over here. It's all it is, divide and conquer. And it affects the shit out of it. That's why I say spirituality. They got no spirituality. You know, they have no spirit. And that is something. That's why I say this Bible. How many times have they changed that to their liking, to one group of people's liking? Like the Jehovah Witnesses, they believe this. Oh, it's one Bible. Oh, but yet, their belief system is totally different from that Baptist church right down the street. And they say they're better than those people over there, constantly battling over, you know, I don't understand it. You know? And those are things that, you know, our kids, like I say, our kids are the ones that are going to have to change that. See? And that's why I told Antonio. You know, there's no difference. Just because they're Mexican father doesn't mean they're not Lakota. I said, they are Lakota because their mother's Lakota. I said, they're part of us. You know, so I said, there's no difference. I said, it's just the thing that the Washitas want you to do to identify. I belong to this prison camp. Or I identify with this prison camp. And that's all the reservations
are.
That's
their whole game plan of divide and conquer, too.
Yep. And those are the, you know, we've got to stop all that hatred,
you know. And one thing I notice, there is a way to deal with all this, and it's the awareness of our culture to the outside world. You know, one thing that I liked, you know, when we have Oglala commemoration, they have it like June 26th for Leonard Peltier. When they have that event, you know, a lot of Leonard Peltier supporters are white, but they're different kind of white. They're not the normal whites, the 246 crew, you know. These are the different kind of whites, you know. And their kids come over to this event, you know, and I always trip out on them. I see these little blonde-headed kids playing with these Indian kids, and when they're serving the food, these little white girls are serving them, you know, and you look, you say, damn, man, and they're playing with these Indian kids. That's how, that right there, their parents are like, she said, the parents are helping their kids not see color or race when it comes to hanging out with our kids. They're out there having fun together. You know, they're out there playing together.
Yep.
And their parents were the ones who allowed that.
Yeah.
But you see, one time we were in Walmart with my son. And my son was there with his long braids. He was a little boy, his Santa with his long braids, and here this little white girl seen my son, little blonde girl. She ran up to my son. I mean, she must have been same age as him, about 5 or 6 years old. She ran up and grabbed my son and kissed him and hugged him. She couldn't resist.
Yeah, there you
go. She couldn't resist. You know. So what happens? The mother grabs her daughter, yanks her away, and jerks her away from us and walks away all pissed. You know?
Yeah.
I says, wow, look at that shit.
That hatred disease, you know?
Yeah, that little girl didn't see that. She ran up to my son and grabbed him and kissed him, you know, like he was a relative of hers or something. And the mother just ruined that.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, that was like years ago. I wonder what that little girl's mind is today. If she's mad at her mom, or what does she think? Why did her mom do that? We didn't do that. We you know, I kind of thought, I was impressed, you know, kind of, you know. I didn't say, oh, don't. I get out of here. No white girl can kiss my son. You know, I didn't do that. You know, I mean, we Lakotas have a different feel for all of this. We don't have racism, even though they say we're racist. Even though on the radio show, people hear us, they say we're racist, but we're not racist. It's the people we talk about are those ones like Lieutenant Callie, who murdered all the Vietnamese, Custer, and those kind of people, those 246-year brain people, you know, their brains started developing 246 years when Disney, their Disneyland mind, you know, Donald Duck mind, Minnie Mouse, Mickey Mouse, and all that. That's the ones I'm talking about,
you know,
because. Any other people know that they're not from here. Most white people with common sense know they're from Europe. They know where they came from. It's that 236 crew, those hillbillies, those racists, those haters, those Republicans and Democrats and all these people, you know, and they act like even Biden. Putting an Indian there to make him look good, but really he don't like that Indian. Really he don't like us, because if he did, he would straighten the whole situation out right damn now. But he ain't, and he's not gonna. And there's none in the future that's gonna do that. When somebody does that, I'll say that white man there, you know, is a human. When a white man does that, but we're never gonna see it. Because they're never going to do that. They're going to keep it where it sits and where it stands because they're racist. They can put all the jokers they want, Indian jokers in there they want, Deb Holland, whoever the hell they want. But it ain't going to change a thing. It's still going to be them running the show. And it's still going to be their racist mind taking care of it. But, like Toshi says, how do we get out of this? Awareness. The awareness of our culture, the awareness of our love for humanity is all we got left to show these white people that we care for the earth. Look at the big oil spill they had down in Kansas. That still didn't change the white man's mind down there. They're still... You know, all they're doing is trying to fix the problem with money. But they don't know. We've been hollering about this for years. You know, they talk about, you know, the Canadians started that I Don't Know More group. You know, that I Don't Know More. Well, how about when the American Indian movement back in the 1960s told those Canadians, hey, man, you know, you need to come down and help us out and this stuff. Those Canadians thought they were in their own show. They wanted to do their own thing. Telling them then, this oil and all this stuff, this stealing of our minerals and everything we have, Russell Means and Dennis Banks and all of them were telling them. Now, it took like what, 30, 40 years for them to wake up? So they started Idle No More. Way after Idle No More. Like, it was their idea. So Idle No More. So I don't care about that Idle No More crap. Because, you know, we were ahead of them from the get-go. We're ahead of all this. You know, when Custer showed up, we were already ahead of Custer. You know, we were ahead of all this. But the white man's murdering our buffalo. They're murdering everything, you know. They spit on the ground. Where did all this spitting come from? Who taught people how to spit? Those white guys know how to spit real cool off the side of their mouth, you know, and those black guys drill a hole in their teeth so they can shoot it out between their teeth, you know. And now I see Indians, you know, I got mad at because I seen Indian guy go out there and they're piercing right, he spit. I said, you know, that ground is sacred. What the hell? You know, where did they get the spitting from? When the pitcher's on the mound to throw that pitch, he kind of throws a cool spit, you know? Well, I watch women's baseball. When the women pitcher, when she pitches, she don't even think of spitting. She's, you know, that's why I like women's baseball. You know, they ain't showing off out there looking cool on that mound and with a fancy and then spit. I can't stand spitters, people that spit on Uchimakan. I can't stand it, you know. We got to show some class and respect this ground we walk on, you know. Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, all our ancestors wanted us to respect this earth. Not just South Dakota, not just what they call North America, but Uchimaka, you know. They meant it all when they talked. When they prayed, they meant it all, you know. And nowadays, they don't mean it all. You know, you got, like I was down in Texas, some Indians down there, what's that Lakota doing over here? We need to run him out. You know, I didn't care what they wasn't going to run me out. I liked to see them try it, you know. I didn't care about their ass. You know, they need to take a few more drinks and come back, you know, but because I didn't care. And at the time, so I wasn't aware of all this politics. So when all of a sudden a bunch of AIMS started showing up and said, hey, man, we're here to back you up. You know, we're here to support our AIM brother because they're saying you guys don't belong down here, you know. Yeah. This is Texas, you know, and we don't belong down there praying. I said, how? In one of those caves, one of those arts, there was a sun dance right there in Texas where the Rio Grande River runs into the Pecos River. There's a, some Lakota did some art of a sun dance and heokas and everything, lightning bolts. And the archaeologist, oh, that was 10,000 years ago, you know. And they didn't, they thought those were ladders that crawled up to heaven in their brain. But those ladders weren't ladders. Those were ropes tied to these images, bodies, sundance ropes. And the reason why they looked like ladders is because when we sundance, every sundancer ties something on their ropes. And some people tie a bunch of tobacco ties. And when you look at those tobacco ties, they look like a ladder, you know, if you were to see them, could look like a ladder if you painted it, you know. And they were just, you know, that's way down in Texas. But those Indians are saying, we don't belong down there. Well, if we don't belong down there, why is there a sundance picture on the wall? You know?
Yep.
You see, that's how small. That's because they were Americanized to think Texas is their land. And we belong in South Dakota. I don't belong in South Dakota. South Dakota ain't even a state to me. That means South Dakota, there's no such thing as South Dakota in my brain.
You know,
the land
Tanshi,
is the land my ancestors walked on.
You know, Tanshi, my grandfather used to load his pipe and come to California. You know, that's how powerful our people were at one time. There was no boundaries, you know. So think about that.
When I was in Russia, I was still Lakota.
Heck
yeah.
You
know what I mean? I was my last. I was a Ushimaka on the other side of the world, you know.
Heck yeah.
I didn't think no different. I didn't think no different. Wherever I was, Slovenia, I got a picture of me pointing at the Alps. I went up to the top of a mountain in the Alps as high as I could go without being a mountaineer. Those mountaineers went higher to the top. I just went up to a level as high as I could go and my fat ass don't fall down, you know. I went up there with my drum. I didn't go up there with a guitar. I went there with my drum, and I sang Lakota songs, and I prayed, and I thanked Wakan Tanka for showing me all of Ushimaka, you know, of our land. I felt like I was home in the in the Slovenian Alps in Italy. You know, no matter where I'm at home. Because my brain isn't fenced into South Dakota, you know. It ain't fenced in. My brain has no fences. You know, if I go to Mars, I'm going to feel like I'm home, you know. If I go to Jupiter, to Saturn, wherever I go, I'm at home, you know, because I'm from the universe, you know.
Right.
And no Indian's going to tell me, hey, you belong in South Dakota. F you. We go where we want, huh, Bember?
Hey, you bet you.
We go where we want. You know? Bember and my brother are there in California, but when they're there, it's Lakota land. They're eating Taniga.
Yep.
They're all, you know.
We're Lakota. That's what I was saying. You're Lakota first. You're going to die Lakota. No matter, I mean, you know, think about that. Wherever you are, the center of the universe.
Let me cut in here real quick because we got to go. And I want to say I seen John Davis showed up from the East Coast. We got to go, Tanshi. So take over Wayne, Philip, and everybody. Sorry, but we got to run. Go ahead,
Tanshi.
Right on, Washtelos. And everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. And you know, the American Indian Movement, thank you for giving us support for being natives. Indigenous Lakotas, you know, and we're here. So wanted to mention that. That's why we ain't gonna forget that. So Doksha, okay.
Doksha, okay.
Doksha. You know, your son should die at all.
I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles.